goosebumps, catching a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What's up, guys? You are tuned into the newest episode of the Punchless MMA Podcast. This is going to be a wild episode. We're starting a little bit late. We are 15 minutes past the 6 o'clock Pacific time start time. The reason being, Dale's MIA. Not sure where he is. Don't know. You know, I hope he's okay. Totally MIA. Hopefully he's going to jump into the podcast here shortly. But your boy here who struggles with any athlete's name is going to try and get through prelims and main card for you guys. So worst case scenario, I've got notes from him. I've got my own notes. Don't have the pronunciation. It's going to get really ugly in here. Let's pay some bills though real quick, guys. The best meat you can put in your body. We talk about it every single week. You know, one of the primary sponsors of this podcast is Stay Classy. Go to stayclassymeats.com, type in the promo code FIST, and that's going to save you 10%. Calvin Kattar, who's fighting on this main card, the guy, if you look in his Octagon, New England Cartel, what he's got there with Rob Font, absolutely unbelievable. The dude's got the Stay Classy logo in the corner. He's rocking it. The guy's all about that tomahawk steak. Now, he's probably not on the tomahawk steak right now while he's cutting weight, but you know he's waving the flag. He's eating that good stuff and getting himself in tip-top shape. So again, go to stayclassymeats.com, type in the code FIST, and that's going to get you 10%. Guys, we're also sponsored by, as you see me donning it right now, Allegiance Clothing. This logo is pretty dope. I'm going to be honest. If you guys watched our boy on Bellator fighter, Taylor Tombstone Johnson, he was rocking our logo. Obviously, he rocks Allegiance Clothing. This one reminds me of like a little bit of Hell's Angels here. Let's just put it this way. No one was fucking with your boy this entire week. Not that I wore this every single week. It has been washed, but the cool thing actually about when you wash these shirts too, they don't get all like funky. There's no like perfect square. You don't look like SpongeBob. They're tailor fit. Regardless, if you want to look like a badass, you want to have that tapered fit, go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH. That's going to save you 15% off site wide. Okay, guys. Yeah, thanks so much. Seeing the comments here. What a champ. Thanks, dog. The show continues. Thank you, Smeesh Bros MMA. You guys are legends. The show does go on. My co-pilot, actually he is the pilot. I'm usually just kind of sitting, I don't even know if I'm sitting first class, but today, dude, I'm fucking flying this flight. So let's get into it. Obviously, if you listened to last week's episode, we talked about, the Calvin Kattar, Max Holloway card in full prelims. We know that there were some changes to that card. Our actual bet slip that we're going to be putting out is, going to be showcased right after weigh-ins on Friday. So what Dale and I are going to do this season, which we've said numerous times, there's a disclaimer here. Everything we say, we're breaking down the fights for you guys to make your own analytical decisions as to how you want to bet your money. But if you want to see what Dale and I are actually putting our cash to, we're going to be posting that. We'll do screenshots of our actual bet slips late on Friday, right after weigh-ins, to give you guys ample time if you want to replicate some of it or whatever. But again, a couple edits, so you'll see those obviously on our bet slip coming on Friday. This week, we are going to get into, you know, again, we're going in three events in 8 days. So this is a big one, obviously a late notice main event that we have Michael Chiesa and Neil Magny. Still, this is one of those sneaky cards, and there's a reason I know they slipped this thing in kind of right prior to the pay-per-view. It's going to take place on Wednesday, so more than enough time to take advantage of these crazy lines. Some of them are super, super wide. But again, these are one of those cards where you can make a lot of ground in the prelims or you can get absolutely smashed. I will say these lines are disrespectful to some fighters, but let's just kind of dive right into it, guys. I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's get right in. We're going to start with the main card. We'll start bottom top from the main card, and we'll loop back to the prelims. And hopefully Dale's going to jump in here because the sound of my voice is getting kind of annoying already. all right. So first fight up on the prelims. is actually going to be a chick fight here. Victoria Leonardo versus Manon Fiorot. Okay. And you guys know I am the guy that's going to butcher all the names, but this is actually a really, really interesting fight for a bunch of reasons. So Victoria Leonardo, and we've got the wrong fight on the crawl there, but Victoria Leonardo, she's a super, super aggressive fighter. She's got great Muay Thai. She walks forward. She leans heavy with her head. So she's going to take a couple shots to give some to get some. Interesting about Victoria Leonardo, though, she fought one of our favorite people and one of the guests of the shows in Haley Cowan. Rear naked choke. This is back a couple years ago. Wish we could get her insight on that. But Victoria Leonardo is a killer be killed versus someone that is more of a karate style. And there's Dale. Mid first run, dude. What a profesh right there.
First of all, I appreciate you not answering my call. So that way that you can continue the show. So I applaud you for that. Second of all, 100% my fault here. So as you know, as a dad, sick kid, right? Do they like to be held or not held? They like to be held. Right. And what happens when you sit in a dark room with a kid that wants to be held for more than 10, 15 minutes at a time? What happens?
Now you're making everyone feel like an asshole, dude.
I don't at all. I literally, sick kid wanted held and we both fell asleep in a rocking chair. So, you calling me over and over again, woke me up. Which is good. Otherwise I'd have missed this whole thing. And then you blew off my return phone call.
So mid record, dude. What was I gonna do?
I appreciate you. What I'm saying is that a lesser man would have decided to wait until I woke up, and you said, "Nay, I shall continue." And how quickly you replaced me. Listen, don't let your wife listen to this show because she will immediately think that you're going to move on if something like that were to happen to her, because you replaced me immediately. So thank you for that.
I will tell you to go back to the comments. We had many people saying, thank you for waving the flag and keeping the show going. You're the man. So that's what I do. If the boat is sinking, I'll dive down, rip off the barnacles, put some new freaking pallets on there, and we will continue to float.
Right. All right. So there you go. So that being said, I'm assuming this is not me.
Let me catch you up to speed. Maybe
catch me up, please.
We have done our ad reads. We have done a funny intro. I have warned the people that if this episode were to proceed without you jumping in, mm-hmm. the names would be butchered. Mm-hmm. The thoughts would be very biased. it would have been a brutal episode. But right now we're in the middle of going from bottom to top of the prelims. We're going through Victoria Leonardo versus Manon Fiorot. That's what I chose to pronounce her name.
I love it. Go for it.
Talked about Victoria again, fought Haley Cowan, was on the show, lost via rear naked choke. She's an aggressive fighter. Mm-hmm. She lost to Miranda Maverick via armbar, though. So while she can give a rear naked choke, she's susceptible to different submissions. She is very, very aggressive, but to a fault, leaves herself fully vulnerable. Manon, though, I really like her. She's much more technical. She's got that karate style, you know, kind of more output, you know, and then we like to see, especially women fighters, utilize those high outputs, you know, peppering other fighters with strikes. She's a little bit of a bully in there. She will push you up against the cage and just start landing, you know, quick, you know, short elbows. I like it. I like her in this fight. I think that Victoria, it's going to get closer to a pick'em as it gets closer to the fight, but I really like Manon here, even for someone that doesn't really have any UFC experience.
Okay. I refuse to weigh in on chick fights in this regard. I will say this, Victoria Leonardo, I don't want to say shock the world. That seems very, you know, I don't want to overuse or use cliche language, but she really put the world on notice rather whenever she beat Chelsea Hackett. If I'm not mistaken, she's the one that beat Chelsea Hackett. So that was a fight that she was not supposed to win. And she went out, and she's not the most athletic. She's not the fastest, but she is a grinder, and she can find ways to win. And, you know, to be honest with you, a fight like this, we always say women's MMA is 50-50. Welcome to the punch list, right? We say women's MMA is 50-50. This fight is freaking 50-50, bro. Do we really want to say that it's anything more than that? So I'll defer to your better judgment here as far as picking winners and losers. But as far as putting money on it, you know, my hard-earned smackaroos, I don't necessarily know that this fight's going to see too much of it. What do you think?
No, I think stay away from this fight. Victoria does have that big light or big show experience. This is a lot for Manon to prove, and especially in a place. Dude, back up for a second. Is Fight Island actually having in-person attendance?
They are, but I don't know. I think it's starting with the Connor fight. I could be wrong. Okay. But they, all that to say, then yes, there will be a few select oil warlords that will be able to buy their way into watching the bloodshed. Yes, I do believe that that's a thing that's going to happen. So
okay, yeah, I mean, I'd stay away. Just, I mean, Victoria's been in the big show before, and when I say the big show, it's probably the most parallel big show. She's fought in front of the big man that is Dana White in a closed, quiet arena, so she knows this game. Granted, it is far and away land, but yeah, stay away.
Gotcha. What fights have you covered outside
of that? That's it.
This is the only fight you've covered?
That's it, dude. I just did the adderies. I did the hard work, dude. I threw this shit on my shoulders. Yeah, that was it.
What the? All right, cool, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Man. All right.
Just, let me come into the restaurant, clean up the floors, and then you can start dishing out the food, dude.
All right, bro. Well, did we find an official bout order for this? This Fight Island nonsense has really had me mad lately. The bout orders have been really frustrating. We have makeup work we have to do from last week with stuff getting added, stuff getting dropped. You know, we were talking about fights last week that were going to happen on Saturday night that are not happening until like the daggone Connor fight. Mm-hmm. So I got to make sure that we got an appropriate bout order here. So did we talk about Sergey Morozov versus Umar Nurmagomedov?
We did not.
Okay. So let's do that one next. Cause as far as the bout order goes, that's the fight I can see that's next. Do we have that preloaded in?
No, because I couldn't even find odds on that fight.
Okay. All right. I got the hiccups too. I'm in a bad spot tonight because I have the hiccups. Those of you who don't know, I get the hiccups. I get them for about a day and a half at a time, 2 days at a time. This is going to be frustrating. So Tyson Nam versus Matt Schnell. Tyson Nam, we have that, correct?
Yes, we do.
All right, cool. Tyson Nam at 20-11. Matt Schnell at 14-5. Matt Schnell plus 100. Tyson Nam minus 130. I have talked shit on Tyson Nam for two fights now, and he has proven me wrong. And continues to win, you know, somewhat salty of a record, but he seems and talks as if he's coming into his own. He's really feeling completed as a mixed martial artist and feels like he's out to prove something. Matt Schnell, if you're not familiar, you know, one of the few guys outside of Dustin Poirier that were featured on an MTV show, Dustin Poirier, Frankie Edgar, and Matt Schnell, pretty elite company there, fighting on MTV at one point in time. And now, in the UFC. So Matt Schnell is no joke, obvious submission threat, taking on a seasoned veteran in Tyson Nam. Pretty close fight here, man. Do you buy into the salty record of Tyson Nam and the submission threat of Matt Schnell? What do you think here?
I don't think it'd be consistent with my narrative from last week where all 2020 I was, you know, rah, rah, go Hawaii boys, but I'm going to fade the Hawaii boys again. Tyson Nam, like you said, very spotty record. He's 37. I mean, this could be the erosion of what Tyson Nam's whole career is. Matt Schnell's a really, really formidable opponent. He's very well-rounded. He's got an insane submission game. He's, you know, his triangle choke, dude, he just freaking throws that shit up, even against really tall guys, which it's tough to do. He did that against Lewis Smolka. He did it against Jordan Espinoza. I mean, the guy's legit. And I think Tyson Nam, you know, that's where a huge issue is, you know, being on the ground. Matt Schnell is going to be a little bit more the bully in there, try to get this thing to the ground. Tyson Nam, though, I feel like this is his record, dude, up and down, up and down. The downs, I feel like, you know, to a fair point, usually against somewhat of elite competition, Kai Car France, Sergio Pettis, he's had big names and, you know, wasn't able to seize the opportunity. I think this is a more hungry, a more athletic, and a more aggressive Matt Schnell. So I think Matt Schnell gets this out, and I love the plus money on that.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. You want to talk about a guy that's fit for a Manscaped sponsorship. Matt Schnell is it. That dude is covered. He's a little teddy bear. know, he's covered in hair, bro. He'll run around like with a daggone sweater on year round. Fight Island, that hairy. Hydration is going to be an issue, but we'll go with Matt Snell. We'll go with Matt Snell. You don't want to be that hairy in the desert, man.
I hate
this freaking. They have not updated. All right. Anyway, Mike Davis taking on Mason Jones. Mike Davis at 8-2. Mason Jones undefeated at 10-0. Mike Davis is probably about as athletic as it gets here, Trey. And my man's, you know, got the call. He's coming back to the UFC minus 190, taking on Mason Jones plus 155. The Welshman, I think he's Welsh. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. I feel like minus 190 is showing Mike Davis a lot of love. Obviously, Mike Davis has faced the better competition, but Mason Jones is no slouch, man. That dude is a hammer looking for a nail. Plus 155 might be the first dog action of the night I'm interested in. What do you think?
You weren't kidding, though, when you said Mike Davis has met with, you know, good competition. He was welcome to the UFC against Gilbert Burns, lost via rear naked choke. But I think it wasn't until, like, the second round. So he weathered the storm of the first round with, you know, what could be our next champion. Mason Jones, though, don't want to slouch on him. Dude, he's two-time Cage Warriors champion. Guys that come out of Cage Warriors are relatively pretty decent. He's uber aggressive, as is Mike Jones or Mike Davis. Mike Jones, dude. Who said that in football? That was Lamar Jackson. Did you hear that in the press conference?
No.
A reporter asked him. He's like, "Oh, Mike Jones from, you know, the Washington Post or whatever." He's like, "Oh, Mike Jones."
Mike Jones. Fun fact: if somebody in the chat right now can give me Mike Jones's cell phone number,
oh, dude.
We'll send you beer money. You got the next 30 seconds. That way I know you're not looking up on Google. So timer right now, Mike Jones, number on the thing. Jake, producer Jake, first one to put Mike Jones' cell phone number up in the chat, getting beer money. Anyway, carry on. Go.
Isn't that kind of funny, though? Those are like the things that you remember from like high school or middle school. It's like, I'll never forget Scruff McGruff's address, dude. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois.
606. Yeah, I know. That's crazy. It works.
I don't know what I'd use Scruff for. What do you use Scruff for?
Was that the report drugs? Was he like a, was that like the dare dog?
Might be the dare dog. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to dare and take Mason Jones here. I'm going to stay with Mike Davis. The dude's a legit New Yorker. Like he's as tough as it comes. He looks like the Statue of David. There's not a piece of fat on that dude. He's extremely athletic. And dude, remember how we talk about like when we see cancellations on resumes?
Yeah.
Dude, guess who Mike Davis was supposed to fight twice? They tried to reschedule him against.
Who's that?
Giga Chickadays, bro.
That's good for him. That honestly, that's good for Mike Davis.
Yeah, it's good for Mike Davis, but it shows what the UFC matchmakers thought in quality of opponent.
That's true. That's a good point. Valid point.
So I don't know. I think under 2.5 for this fight looks super juicy. I think bright lights, the aggression from both sides. I think it's a recipe for an under. I really like that more than I like, you know, picking a money line.
Outstanding. Shout out to Smesh Bros MMA in the chat. Hit us up with Mike's cell phone or Mike Jones' cell phone number 281-333-8004. He hit it up, man. I appreciate that. Said he was calling that number in junior high on his friend's Razor cell phone. And I have never heard anything more true than that. I appreciate you, dog, for that Razor. That Motorola Razor, baby. It doesn't get any more real than that. Man, if I could just tell you the amount of Mike Jones I bumped. You know, I was out of high school at the time, but just barely. So your boy was lost in the sauce over in Okinawa, Japan, cruising in my Nissan Gloria with a system, just bumping Paul Wall and Mike Jones. Like I completely forgot who I was as a human being. So shout out. Hey man, you know, we were all there at some point in time, you know? So shout out to Smesh Bros. Shoot us a message on the, what you call it on Instagram and we'll get your Venmo from you, buddy. All right, let's keep things moving right along. I think the under 2.5 is a good play here, Trey. Sorry, I didn't acknowledge your good breakdown and quality choice there. Francisco Figueiredo at 11-3, Jerome Rivera at 10-3. this is a fight, dude, that I am literally going to defer to your better judgment. I am going to take dog or pass style approach to it. I admittedly do not know much about either one of these guys enough to advise people on what to do with their money in this regard. So it is what it is. So, you know, dog or pass as far as I'm concerned. But do you have anything you want to add to this here?
Yeah, this is a massive pass fight. How Figueiredo's at a minus 140 is purely based on his last name. It is the brother of Davison. Davison literally looks exactly like Francisco with a beard instead. This is the, you know, model for Manscaped. Jerome Rivera, you know, we're going to say Tyson Nam a few times through this card because Tyson Nam has fought a couple people on this card, but Jerome Rivera was one of those people. He lost to Tyson Nam back in September. Jerome's got good stand-up. He's got some quick hands. Fought back in LFA. If you know me, I love my LFA guys. He actually lost against Brandon Royval back in LFA. So he's fought some guys that had some potential. He actually lost that fight via injury. I don't know. I'm going to stay away from this fight because clearly the UFC is either trying to give, you know, Francisco some clout, or they just want to see something entertaining with guys on the same level. But this is why it's almost at a pick'em, over under, scary. Stay away.
Are we going to I had something I wanted to say. I was going to lead off the show with a little bit of rant.
Dude, you're all just mixed up right now,
man. I am. Listen, first of all, I need something to drink so bad. Like laying in that room. Yeah, appreciate that. Well, like that hot baby, like body, just, you know what I mean? And like, I'm just, you know what I mean? I got the thing going on. You know, I'm just very thirsty right now. But I have no way of getting a drink short of walking away from the mic mid-show. So I will forge on. That will be the most heroic thing I do today. Do I have time at the end of the show to do a rant, or do I need to get it in now?
I say what we do is we finish off.
It's fine. Okay.
This main card or prelims. What are we on right now?
We got a ways to go because you started at the bottom. So we do have to pick up the pace regardless. Otherwise, the show is going to be 2 hours long.
All right. Let's do break before main card. You get a rant in. Okay. That'll just get everyone all pumped, dude.
Just remind me it's about the LFA because I'm mad at the LFA right now.
Oh, so, the firing? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. See, you already know where I'm going. I'm good thing you read. Yeah. Good thing we did the ad reads already. All right. Next fight, Dalci Longiambula taking on Marcus Perez. Longiambula at 10-2, Marcus Perez at 12-4. I think it's win or go home here for Marcus Perez. I don't think that's too big of a stretch here. Longiambula is going to get a little bit more grace here, but you got a Perez that's coming off 3 losses in a row to Wellington Turman. Two in a row to Wellington Turman and Driscus Duplessis. Perez is on win or go home status here. He is entertaining. He is a good measuring stick, but he must win this fight. Longiambula minus 140, Marcus Perez plus 110. And listen, I think that this is something where we have the first fight of the night where the best strategy is survive. If you can take Longiambula and stretch him into rounds 2 and beyond, that's where your win comes in. Longiambula is about 0.01% body fat. He throws everything with ill intention. Perez has to be smart. He can be baiting the way that he likes to. He can be an asshole. He can try to, you know, trigger him if he wants to. However, he has got to survive those 5 minutes. He has to. Every minute the fight goes on, the better chance he has at winning.
I totally agree. Dude, how did Dalci move from 205 to 185?
Is this at 185? I mean, he's a big boy, buddy. He's so big.
Yeah, but he's a big boy, but he's only 5'8".
Right, well, he's thick.
No, he's oatmeal thick. He's like a fucking tank, dude. He's
thick.
Yeah, he's super thick. But we haven't seen him a bit. The last time we saw him was the 2019 November loss to Magomed Ankalov. Dude, he's a black belt in judo, so you know he's going to try and throw, lay heavy, significant ground and pound. Marcus Perez, this is where we're going to talk about, dude. Brazilians on Fight Island. Do you ever want to bet on a Brazilian on Fight Island?
You don't normally, but, you know, leading into that, we're talking about taking, you know, what's his face? The Figueiredo's little bro.
I'm staying away from that fight. But
I agree. Normally, statistically speaking, and what we've seen in the past, eyeball test wise, you do not bet on a Brazilian on Fight Island. It's just, regardless of how big of a mismatch you think it may be, they did not fare particularly well on Fight Island the first go around. So There were some Brazilians that won, so don't at me saying, oh, what about this guy or this girl? I know a couple of them won, but by and large, bro, they ain't winning all that much, right? The same way Canadians have not been winning that much. Well, one dude got his feelings about you talking shit about Canadians. The Canadians have not been winning that much lately, man. So it is what it is. Like what my man Matt said, it is what it is, right? I don't at me about it. I don't like betting on Brazilians at Fight Island. They don't do well when they have to travel multiple time zones. I don't like it. Anyway.
Canadian thing. It's a boot time they start winning. Marcus Perez, though, dude, the guy carries his hands super low. He's fought decent competition, Duplessis, you know, Wellington Terman.
Here's the thing about the Duplessis fight is I don't think Dricus Duplessis looked very good in that fight. I think Marcus Perez just got crazy reckless and blew his wad trying to get Duplessis out of there. You know, that's my opinion. Duplessis just got booked for another fight that I think he's going to lose. I almost made an Instagram post regarding it. I'm not impressed with that Duplessis kid. And I think Perez could have won that fight. He just gassed out and looked, you know, essentially poor fight IQ is what lost him that fight. I don't know, man. Maybe I think inside the distance is a great play here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both of these guys are coming off being finished and they both have the intention to sit there and throw. So I think maybe an inside the distance play if you're going to play this fight at all.
I love that. Let's do that.
Perfect. Let's do that. Let's do that.
Do it.
All right, man. Do you want to do this next fight? Because I'm going to be honest with you. There's not many names that intimidate me. And this fight has two names that intimidate me a lot. Zaruk Adishev and Zu Madarji.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Madarji, yeah. -390. Adishev at +315. A boy named Stu is what I called him last fight. Any guy named Sue knows how to fight. I said this the last time, and we were like, I don't know if we want to take him. And I said, any guy that is named Sue, Johnny Cash gave you the blueprint 50, 60 years ago. Anybody that names their boy Sue, and do you remember? Have you ever listened to the song A Boy Named Sue?
No, I thought that was a book.
First of all, as an accomplished and acclaimed children's author like you are, you should know what's written in a book and what's not. And no, Johnny Cash wrote a song about a boy named Sue, and the dad says that he named the boy Sue because if he did so, that he knew he'd grow up to be tough and mean. That's why he did that. So if he could survive being named Sue, he knew that he wouldn't have to worry about his boy. So a boy named Sue is going to murder a guy with a name that I can barely pronounce, if I can pronounce it at all. So I do believe that Sumaderji is probably going to be one of those popular parlay pieces of the weekend, and justifiably so. He's going to murder Zaruk Adishev in the desert. There will be bloodshed in the desert.
Dude, this Zaruk guy, his manager's a moron. We talked about Tyson Nam before.
Who is it, Ali? Who's his manager?
I don't know, but his bookings are absolutely atrocious. Dude, he took the Tyson Nam fight on 2 weeks' notice. He moved up a weight class. The guy's a glory kickboxer, so yeah, he could probably hold himself or, you know, have a good foundation standing. Mm-hmm. But gets absolutely clotheslined by Tyson Nam, mm-hmm. murdered. Now he's taking this fight. Dude, this is the opposite of a fight you want to take because, one, he doesn't have that great of striking. He's got good kickboxing, but not, his striking is just really not there. Sue has a 7-inch reach advantage, and that's all he knows how to do is strike. So you're getting a world-class striker with a 7-inch reach advantage. Like, there's just nothing for him to do. Both these guys don't have a ground game, so they're both not going to feint that. So this is tit for tat going to be standing and Sue. That's what he does. So that's why the line's set that way. I'm not going to touch a 390 though. I don't even want to put that in a parlay though. I don't think Sue. I think Sue can pepper someone. I don't see him being a devastating striker. I don't know why this is at 1.5. I totally like the over in that. You think he's that devastating?
I think Sue gets done. You're talking about Zaruk. He got slept in the first 30 some odd seconds of his last fight.
Yeah, but that was again 2 weeks' notice, and it was up a weight class.
And
dude, it's just, you know,
30 seconds is 30 seconds. I mean, 30 seconds. You went out, you moved around, you put your hands on, and then somebody woke you up. That's it. That's what just happened.
All right.
I mean, sometimes 30 seconds feels like an eternity, and sometimes 30 seconds is 30 seconds. And that my man went out, did this, and it was over with. That's it.
Sue's the play.
So Sue is the play. If you're gonna play, that look for him as a parlay piece. I'm not saying throw 10 grand on the guy at minus 390. I'm just saying if you're looking at a parlay piece, Sue's your man.
Like it.
Do you like it?
I like it.
All right, man. We got one that I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but it's on this card now. So we're gonna talk about it now. Omari Akhmedov versus Tom Breeze. Omari Akhmedov at 20-5, Tom Breeze at 12-2. Do we have odds loaded for that one or no?
No, because we talked about this one last week.
Right. But we thought it was supposed to be on last or right, whatever this card. Right. But it's essentially, from what I understand, it's on the Wednesday card. So no big deal. But we talked about it last week and we went Omari Akhmedov on it last week, correct?
Yep. Still sticking with that too.
All right, perfect. All right. Not the featured prelim that we wanted, but a featured prelim that we're going to get all the same. Your boy Ricky Simone at 16-3, taking on how do you say it? Is it Gaetano?
Gaetano. I have a friend named Gaetano. Yeah, you're, so that one I know.
You have a friend named Gaetano.
Yeah, dude, he makes freaking bomb pasta.
Really? That's a real thing.
That's an Italian name right there.
Is it?
I don't know if this dude's Italian. Yeah.
Okay. Gaetano, is it Perella?
I cannot confirm the
Perella. Okay. He's 15-5-1, taking on Ricky Simone at 16-3. We don't have odds loaded for this either.
There was no odds for that one either because this is a short notice fight for Gaetano.
All right. Let me look on Bet Online real quick. Go ahead and talk about Ricky Simone has that glorious mullet. Talk about that for a second. Let me see if I can't pull up an odd.
It's a disgusting mullet, dude.
It is greasy. It's very greasy. So I got odds for it right here. Ricky Simone's a minus 330. Gaetano is at a plus 270. I don't know where you were looking for odds, but it couldn't have been Bet Online. If you would have went to Bet Online and used promo code Armchair, I believe that you would have seen all of these odds because I don't just pull these out of a hat. I'm not a magician. I'm not John Dodson. These odds are available. So look, man, I need you to wave the flag a little bit more here. We gotta get this together. I fall asleep for one, half hour. I fall asleep. Goodness gracious.
I told you I'm below the boat. I'm getting the barnacles off. I'm not doing anything on the ship currently.
I understand. All right. So we got Ricky Simone. My man Ricky Simone's coming in. He's a sizable favorite, minus 330, taking on how do you say this guy's name? Gaetano?
Gaetano.
He's my Giga. Over 100 on rounds at 2.5, with the over 2.5 being a minus 160. That greasy, long, flowing mullet of Ricky Simone. Can he get Gaetano out of there on short notice? Am I looking at playing this on inside the distance? Am I looking at playing Ricky Simone as a parlay piece? What am I doing this? Is this a dog pass? What am I doing?
This is the most parlay piece on the planet. Ricky Simone is an absolute beast, an amazing wrestler. He's got an insane camp. He's had a full camp. I mean, dude, he was getting ready to fight Brian Kelleher. That's who Ricky Simone was supposed to fight. So to up his striking, he was ready to do that. He already has that wrestling foundation. He's ready to go. Brillo is everything big. He's got that overhand right, Muay Thai style. He's got those looping punches. So he's just going to come in there knowing he's taking this on short notice. He's going to try and just bull rush and clip. Ricky Simone, though, he'll easily duck under, get a double, bring this thing to the ground. The wrestling within itself, this is parlay. I used to hate this guy because, back when he fought like Faber and stuff like that, anyone that fights Faber, I think, fuck, I don't like him. But Ricky has shown to be an absolute just warrior. I really like him in this fight. He's going to be a big parlay piece for me.
Interesting. So, yeah, Gaetano is Italian, fights out of Belgium, fight name El Tigre. Boy, I like the cut of his jib too. Looking at pictures of him right now, checking out his record against all this regional competition. I like the cut of his jib, man. Are we going to see a big underdog beat? I don't know, man. We taking stabs in the dark here? We just going to let Ricky Simone ride?
No, we're going to let Ricky Simone ride. We are not touching Gaetano. No way. Unless I'm all hopped up on like some
sugar cereals.
What's that Italian port wine thing?
Bro,
the yellow stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Limoncello, dude.
Limoncello. Oh, it's a digestive. Isn't that, only drink that after a meal to help the food digest?
Yeah. Unless I'm shit faced on limoncello, I'm not touching Gaetano.
I know back in the day you were doing little lemon drop body shots. I bet, weren't you?
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Oh, don't put salt on the rim. Put some sugar.
Put some sugar on the rim. Oh my gosh. Over under on time. The over under on the amount of times you've taken a lemon drop shot out of a navel.
Out of a navel?
Yes.
Who calls it a navel? You mean the belly button?
I am calling it the belly button, yes.
I'm not a learned doctor.
This is a house of learned doctors. What, so
what was the number set at?
No, I'm asking you, what should the number be set at?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna start with like,
I don't want to get you in trouble here.
Yeah, I know. Four or five?
Four or five. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Yeah, for sure. Look, check you out. Yeah. Awesome. Good for you. Good for you. A little sugar on your rim. I'm just going to call you that from here on out. Jake, if you would, just change Trey's name to Sugar Rim, please. That way. All right, moving on. Lerone Murphy, first fight on the main card. Lerone Murphy at 9-0, taking on Douglas Silva, the Andrade, at 26-3. This is a fight, honestly, when it was first announced and then the odds started rolling out, Trey. I've talked to you about this. I've talked to several other people that I usually run picks by. Admittedly, I am slightly confused by these odds. The biggest thing that I can think of when it comes to this is that, one, you know, a lot of people are hyped up on Lerone Murphy. And then, two, people are seeing the Brazilian, I guess you would say, Brazilian struggling in Fight Island, in particular, muscle-bound Brazilian, like Douglas Silva de Andrade, who is 0% body fat. I don't know why I'm so much body fat talk this week. But anyway, I'm interested in this fight because – I like Silva de Andrade here, and I don't know why I like him so much at a plus 220. The odds in Vegas would say that I shouldn't feel so strongly about him, but I'm really feeling a certain type of way about my man, DSDA. I'm trying to think without saying his name over and over again. I feel pretty strongly about him here. I really like him at plus 220. I really like that.
I mean, you and a lot of other people, I guess. I mean, that's a lot of people are jaded by the resume. Dude, look at it. He's got a win against Henan Burrell. He's got a loss to Piotr Jan. He's got a win over Chito Vera. He's got a loss to Rob Font. While there is a crazy ebb and flow to it, look at the strength of schedule. It's freaking nuts. He's a win one, lose one type fighter. He plods forwards. He's head first. He makes me nervous being 35 years old and kind of walking into a guy with great technical boxing like we're going to see in Lerone Murphy. But he's got great BJJ. I think a lot of people are looking at Lerone Murphy and just like saying, dude, this guy's technical boxing is legit. Not just because he actually headhunts, he works the body, he wears you down, which makes you really, really tired. And God forbid he gets on his back. He doesn't have as good as jiu-jitsu as De Andrade, but you know what he does have is a really active guard. So you'll see him utilize his elbows laying on his back. He'll do this freaking awesome move like that. Yeah.
And then, you're very flexible.
Thank you. But I think this line's way too wide. I could take a flyer on Josh. I was a little bit more Lerone Murphy because I just thought over time, and you know, our friends at MMA Heads in the chat was wanting to bet the over. I like the over too because Lerone Murphy's not going to get you out of there. I think it's going to be a very slower type fight because I think that Lerone Murphy can hold his own on the ground. I think De Andrade knows what it's like to stand on the feet. I see the over in this, but I don't like either one.
If you look at Andrade, he's lost to Piotr Jan, Rob Font, and Zubaira Tukhugov. Those are his three losses. Outside of that, my man's got 26 wins.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. Experience is the currency of MMA, and it pays time and time again. I understand Lerone Murphy's undefeated. He's a prospect. He's 9-0, but he's going up against a guy that has damn near 30 professional fights. And the three, one, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Of the three losses, one of which is now a current champion. Rob Font is knocking on the door of a title shot, and Zubair Tukugov has been considered and tapped as a prospect to watch as a potential title contender at some point in time. That's if you're going to lose the three guys, I could pick three worst guys to lose to. Lerone Murphy, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh man,
he's Brazilian. Caveat.
But he is Brazilian. Like, that's my only fear is that he's Brazilian. But +220, don't be surprised if he shows up on the slip on Saturday. Wednesday. All right, Vivian Arajau at 9-2 taking on Roxanne Modafferi at 25-17. This was a fight that you and I are admittedly kind of split on here. Modafferi again +255, Arajau -330. How much money has Roxanne Modafferi either lost or won us? Because they're about pretty dang equal, Trey. Because when she wins fights she shouldn't. And when she loses fights that she should win. +255 money here, taking on Vivian Arajau, does a couple things good, but does nothing great. Arajau, Roxanne Modafferi makes every fight ugly. She makes every fight her fight. If you beat her, you're beating her at her own game because she only allows you to fight her style of fight. I know you're about to say the words Andrea. I'm not going to correct you on it, but here's the thing. Roxanne Modafferi, I don't like her. She is probably the single most unathletic fighter on the roster, but she finds ways to win fights. +255. Is she worth a stab?
No.
No? You're like very just...
Just no. No,
dummy, no. She's
these
not.
These are the type of fights that I don't want my wife to watch. Like, there's a couple. You want MMA and UFC to look like badass. You want to, you know, like Dolce Longo. You want some guy to, like, look just like a tank, like, oh, shit, they're about to go to war. When you look at someone like Roxanne Modafferi, who just looks like a freaking nerd, she does the whole, like, what is that? What is the thing with the hair she does at Wands? What is that thing? I don't know. Some comic bullshit. I don't know what it is. That and like heavyweights, dude. It's like those aren't athletes. Roxanne Modafferi is a smart athlete. She's not an athlete, though. She's not athletic. She's not. When she's met with someone that has true athletic ability, like Andrea Lee, someone that has the footwork, has the output, has the technical striking, she gets murdered. Macy Barber, the only reason that Roxanne, it looks like she's coming into her own, is because Macy Barber tore her entire knee off in the first like 30 seconds. Roxanne Modafferi is a great jiu-jitsu person from a technical, I guess, standpoint. But when it comes to grappling, she's not strong enough to overpower these heavier fighters. Vivian, she's got a bunch of issues as well. You know, she loses to chicks that are bigger than her. Roxanne Modafferi is not going to be bigger. Yes, she's going to be taller. I think she's like 4 inches taller, but she's not thick. She's not that triple C thick chick we need to see. So I just think from a standing perspective, how this is going to play out on the feet, Roxanne's too slow. She overthinks everything. She's technical, but you need someone that's going to bully in this fight. And Vivian's going to bully her in this fight.
For how long, though? I'm confused. I mean, I'm not arguing with things that you're saying, right? But if you I guess maybe I'm taken aback as to how you think Arajau is going to win this fight, right? Roxanne is going to be bigger. She's 3 inches bigger than Vivian is. I don't.
Dude, I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
Go back to Vivian's, what was her last fight against Montana De La Rosa? Montana De La Rosa, that's what she does. She's a grappler wrestler. She comes in thicker.
Yeah.
And she survived that. If I were to put Montana De La Rosa and Roxanne Modafferi next to each other and who I thought is actually going to be able to lay heavier, really keep things up at the cage, control the fight, I'm going Montana De La Rosa all day long.
That's interesting. I don't agree with that. I'm not trying to be contrarian. I'm really not. Roxanne Modafferi has this very weird, unorthodox, ugly style of fighting, and she is able to impose that on people. I agree that from a skill perspective, maybe Montana De La Rosa is a little bit more decorated or you would think could pull out more, you know, more tools in the toolbox. But if I'm sitting there going, I need somebody that I can consistently bet on to perform a certain way, night in and night out, and how that stacks up with people, Roxanne Modafferi, if nothing else, is brutally consistent in her skill set and her execution. She's going to come out and do the same thing every single night. She does not come out, and some nights it doesn't look like she doesn't have it. She comes out and she does the same thing every single fight, and whether or not it gets the victory that night remains to be determined on the other side of it. It's always the other person that does what Roxanne's doing. They just happen to do it better than Roxanne that night. Plus, don't forget, Mata Ferry is coached by, you know, when we talked about Cater, who's fighting this weekend, who's, you know, Cater's coached by Tyson Chartier. He split coach of the year honor with, what's his face? Eric, come on, help me out here.
Glasses Eric?
No, what's his face? Gosh, I can't remember. Well, I can't remember that cat's name right off the top of my head. Damn. Know. Anyway, again, runner-up or tied Tyson Chartier as far as coach of the year goes with most major media outlets. Damn it, I cannot remember that guy's name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Roxanne's coming out of a great camp too, plus 255. I know you do women's MMA better than I do. I actually like Mata Ferry in this fight, plus 255. That's back-to-back plus 200 dogs. I realize this.
An unathletic 38-year-old. Yep. Let's go with Roxanne.
Who does cosplay? Who does cosplay?
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, man. And listen, if Silva de Andrade wins, I'll take those winnings and I'll roll them over immediately into a Roxanne Modafari play. How about that?
That sounds fair.
Okay. All right. Fair. It's essentially like going up to a roulette table and just throwing money on black.
Yeah.
Just hoping for the best.
I'm more of a green guy.
You are a green. You know what? You are. Oh, man. All right, Sugar Rim. Vinicius Moreira at 9-4, taking on Ike Villanueva at 16-3. This main card has me so confused as to how they have this thing set up. I do not know what to do here. Ike Villanueva minus 135. Vinicius Moreira at plus 105. Over-unders of 1.5. I feel like you like your boy Ike. Here, I think you're gonna tell me that you like Ike at minus 135. Yes or no?
No. This is why I said I don't want my wife to watch these two fights back to back. Those are the worst fights. This is a garbage fight. This is the worst fight on the entire card.
Oh, really?
The UFC wants Moreira to be legit. I mean, he's but he lost his last three fights, dude. A heavyweight that's got light heavyweight, right? Light heavyweight with your back against the cage, three fights and a loss. He lost to Paul Craig rear naked choke. He lost to Eric Connors via punches. He lost to Alonzo Menafield via punches. Dude, let me forget to mention all those first round. This guy fucking sucks. He's 100% on this card to ensure that there's going to be a stoppage. That is the safest play on this entire thing. Don't get cute with the 1.5 under. Just play inside the distance. Both guys have glass chins. Ike's 36 years old. I mean, if this goes to the ground, they both don't have anything. These guys are, you know, fat, light heavyweights. You know, Moreira's probably going to come in a little bit better shape, but, you know, after 1.5, dude, the cardio tank's gone. Like, this fight's just going to get sloppy.
Can I push back a little bit?
My contrarian.
Can I push back just a little bit here? I do not believe that Villanueva has a glass chin. I don't. If you look at his fight against Chase Sherman, who showed up for that, right? The best Chase Sherman that we've ever seen, whom we haven't seen since because he got busted by USADA. But that Chase Sherman came out and just put a beating on him for the better part of two rounds, right? And Ike took everything until it was just not feasible from a brain health perspective to continue on. Then he comes out, he fights Jordan Wright. Jordan Wright didn't finish him. A cut finished that fight. And the cuts are a byproduct of Ike Villanueva being so tough. He's got tons of scar tissue because he goes out there and he does take a beating, right? He does have quite a few losses. He does have a salty record. I can't deny those things. However, I do think that he's more battle tested than Vinicius Moreira is. And I think minus 135 is a good price on him here. I think inside the distance is a good price here. I do not like Moreira unless he's going to get it finished by sub. I don't believe he finishes like Villanueva off. with strikes. I don't believe that he's going to beat him over the course of three rounds. We've seen Ike submitted a couple times before. He either submits Ike or Ike gets the victory anyhow. And at minus 135, I feel confident in betting just Villanueva money line. I think that's a decent price on him in this fight. I think you're right. Moreira is not very good. I'm not going to say that he's garbage. He is a professional athlete. But I definitely think that this is a fight where they're saying, if you can't win this, man, we got nothing else for you here. A loss here is a wrap on the UFC tenure of one Vinicius Moreira.
I see what you're doing here. You're doing the whole like good cop, bad cop thing. Because what you're doing, God forbid we get Moreira on the show and he listens to this episode. He's like, fuck you guys. I'm not coming on the show. But, oh, no, that was Trey. Trey's not going to be here anymore. Don't worry about Trey. Do you listen to what I said? And good cop, bad cop.
I talk more trash about people than anybody else. What I do, though, is it's different than the way our execution is different. Our end goal is the same. Our execution is different, right? Like me, I think somebody's not very good, or I don't necessarily know if they're a UFC level talent is what I will say. And then you'll say, this person fucking sucks. We're both saying the same thing. I'm just saying it differently.
All right, I want you to say one good thing about Greg Hardy then.
You want me to say a good thing about Greg Hardy?
Yeah. If I were to say I think he's a shit human being, how would you reply about Greg Hardy?
I agree. I don't care if Greg Hardy ever comes on our show.
I know, but would you – oh, so you'd piggyback on me being the aggressor.
No, I'm just saying – I'm saying 9.9 times out of 10, I agree with everything that you have to say about people and their assessment of their talent, skill, and capability inside the octagon. You just say it in a more crass way than I do. That's all.
Crass. You're saying ghetto.
No, I said crass.
No one knows what crass means, dude. I don't even know what crass means. Let's get on the next fight.
It just means your words. I'm just saying that you say it in a way that's from a harsher perspective than me, but we're both saying the same thing.
Okay, that's fair. That's crass.
We're both saying the same thing. That's all. You just say it with more colorful language than I do. Listen, I try to explain somebody's skill level as if my grandma's sitting beside me. You say it as if you're just hanging out with the boys at the bar on a Friday night.
What I'm doing, dude. This is the boys. For the boys.
For the boys. Listen, there is no wrong way to do it. That's all. It's not a good cop, bad cop. Because you and I know we're a unified front on 99% of the things that we talk about on the show. All right. Co-main event of the evening time, Worley Alves taking on Munir Lazzez. Munir Lazzez stepping in on short notice. 10-1 taking on Worley Alves at 13-4. Boy, I like Worley Alves a lot. As a fighter, I like him. I really liked him in the matchup that he had prior to this when he was supposed to face Christian Aguilera. I really liked him in that fight. I don't like him in this fight against Munir Lazzez. Admittedly, we have not seen a whole lot of Munir Lazzez, but what we have seen has been very, very impressive. And I think he can get it done against a guy like Worley Alves. Justifiably so, because I believe that Vegas sees things the same way. Minus 210, Worley Alves plus 170. Again, I would normally lean on the side of experience here. However, Munir Lazzez has, in his last fight against Abdul Razak Alhassan, showed a well-rounded skill set, a durability, a willingness to exchange, a willingness to, really showed a high fight IQ in that fight, which was really impressive. I like Munir Lazzez at minus 210 in this. Spoiler alert, we will be putting out a parlay that will have Munir Lazzez in it. I do like him in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it all. Lazzez is that guy. He's an absolute stand-up feat. The guy's got a rhythm that's unprecedented. He's a guy that looks at the entire body and figures out where that little opening is and hits it. And when he hits it, mentally and physically, you just start to crumble. Worley's that typical Brazilian-type fighter. He's got great jiu-jitsu. But the thing is, Lazzez has got an amazing takedown defense. He's got great footwork. He's got insane cardio. He's going to be able to get out of there and not allow Worley to get this thing to the ground. You said it with the Razak Alhassan fight. It was great back and forth, but we saw a lot of poise, a lot of great fight IQ. This guy, I think, is going to make a run in the division, or at least, you know, climb pretty significantly. But yeah, Lizez in parlays. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's move it on to the main event of the evening. The lead horse at Team Elevation, Neil Magny, taking on Michael Chiesa. This is a tough fight. Michael Chiesa is at a plus 110. Neil Magny at a minus 140. Over-under on rounds here is at 2.5 on a five-round fight. Boy, I'll tell you what, consistently for probably the better half of the last 5 or 6 years, Neil Magny has been straight money from a betting perspective. I don't know that we see that change on Wednesday night. I really don't. But if there's a guy that can do that, it is Michael Chiesa, because the things that make Neil Magny great as a welterweight, Michael Chiesa shares a lot of those attributes. I think we're both initially leaning Magny here, but give me your breakdown of the fight, and then I'll interject on top whenever you're done.
Yeah, Chiesa is just a scary wrestler, and the reason he's a scary wrestler is because he's just a big dude. But the problem is, I feel like everyone, and you and I were talking about this earlier, I feel like a lot of people are jaded because of his resume. He's fought the who's who, and you go back to the days when actually people started to understand his name and the Ultimate Fighter, which is one of the greatest seasons of all time. I think that was the Cruz-Faber one. It was Cruz-Faber, and Chiesa was on Faber's team that also had like Ally Quinta. Team was freaking stacked. But Chiesa is dangerous because he's such a big dude. He just swarms you. But his last three opponents, RDA, which it wasn't the RDA we just saw. It was the shitty RDA that looked like, okay, he's going towards retirement. Diego Sanchez, come on. Yeah. And then Carlos Condit, before obviously this upcoming Matt Brown fight, this wasn't the Carlos Condit we knew. He's fought the Benil Dariushes. He's fought the Kevin Lees, the Anthony Pettises. He's fought the who's who. But I think he hasn't fought anyone that's actually been on the rise. He's been fighting fighters that were on the decline. Outside of Benil Dariush, you can make a case that every single one of those fights, those fighters were on the way down. This is finally a fighter that's coming into his own. He's exponentially grown his striking. He's a long, reachy, athletic dude. He's been arguably the best team that MMA has. I think that this line is fair. I would love to say let's go Chiesa because I love that wrestling style, but Neil Magny, man, he is on the move.
I think that Carlos Condit is the only real welterweight that Michael Chiesa can say that he fought. I don't think that, I don't think RDA is a real welterweight. I don't think Diego Sanchez is, and then obviously spent some time at 155 where a majority of his fights were at, but you see him and you're like, man, I don't know how you ever made 155. He's just a massive, massive guy. Right. And it confuses me in the sense that, I don't necessarily know. I don't have an accurate metric to say how good is, Michael Chiesa. I don't know how good, what his ceiling is. He's not the most entertaining fighter to watch by any stretch of the imagination. I think that's a fair assessment of him. But Neil Magny, to his own credit, finds ways to win fights, right? Like Neil Magny is the OG of coming out there and you think you have a game plan and Neil Magny's just going to run around and jab you to death, or he's going to take you down and Matt return. He does not care about what your plans are for a fight. He just does what he thinks he needs to do to win fights. And he's been wildly successful in doing it. When he can't execute his game plan, we have not seen him really be able to rally and find another way to victory, right? Like with the Santiago Ponzinibbio fight, Neil Magny went out, he had himself a plan A and B, and it just didn't work out for him. And he was unable to adapt and overcome something as simple as leg kicks. Although there's nothing simple about getting kicked in the leg. He was not able to adjust. He couldn't adjust. And Santiago Ponzinibbio just beat him mercilessly for the better part of 20 plus minutes. It was bad. It was tough to watch. So if Neil Magny's firing on all cylinders, he looks untouchable. I don't know if there's a whole lot of 170ers that can do anything when Neil Magny is in his zone. But he's got to be in the zone. Yep. If he gets rattled, if he's not executing the way he needs to, things get dicey. They get dicey in a hurry. My concern is Michael Chiesa under 2.5.
Yes.
Like if you like Michael Chiesa, I suggest betting under 2.5. If you like Neil Magny, I suggest betting over 2.5. Mm-hmm. Because if Chiesa is going to get this, he's going to get Magny. He's going to push him up against the cage. He's going to try to get his arms wrapped around Magny, switch to the back, get one hook in, get two hooks in, drag him to the mat, rear naked choke, Michael Chiesa under 2.5 rounds. If it's not going to go that way, and he cannot do that, Neil Magny wins this fight. He wins it going away.
That's, yeah, 1,000%. Dude, that's, I can literally close my eyes and see it that way. Either okay. The over for Neil or the under for Chiesa.
Yeah. Yeah. And if Chiesa wins, it's by sub. And I'm being super bold in saying that if Chiesa wins, it's by rear naked choke.
Mm. Okay.
Just sometimes you gotta fire something out into the ether, bro. So I'm just putting it out there. All right. That's it, man. We went through this whole thing. Oh, we did not go over Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. That was mentioned. We thought it was going to be on this card. It's actually on the fight card coming up on Saturday. Mm. Correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So I do want to touch base on that real quick. Let me get those odds pulled up. I know we're not going to have them scrolling. It's not a problem. I'm throwing a curveball here. Matt Brown's at a plus 145. Carlos Condit at a minus 170. I am scared, if you will, at how much I love Carlos Condit in that fight.
Mm. No. Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Something to keep in mind, too, is Matt Brown has not seen a decision in almost 6 years. So over-under on rounds is at 2.5. So I'm liking inside the distance, and I'm liking Carlos Condit.
I am too. I don't have much to say on this because I think this is very one-sided. I can totally see Condit up against the cage, cross elbow, dropping Matt Brown to his knees. That's it.
Okay. All right. I think we went through everybody, right? That's it. And there was no adjustments from last week's card that we needed to talk about. We went through everybody.
I did tell everyone at the beginning that after weigh-ins on Friday, we'll be posting our actual bet slip. So if people want to understand outside of the breakdowns that we've showcased here today, what Dale and Trey will be actually betting on for Saturday's fights.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2020, we just bet every fight, which was great. Right. But there's a lot of chalky plays in there too. So, you know, you get a big chalky underdog, you're losing money and you get a nice underdog win, or sorry, you get a big chalky loss and you're losing and you get a big underdog win and you're up big. So what we decided we're going to do this year, obviously we'll do breakdowns for every single fight, but we're going to share with you guys what we're actually betting on, because we're going to be a little bit more picky choosy with what we're betting on this year. There's no point in sitting there and putting money on a minus 390 favorite just because we told you guys to pick them in the show, or that we like them in the show. Yes, I like a minus 390 favorite, but all things considered, I would not be betting them unless I didn't already make a promise to everybody at the beginning of us starting this podcast that I was going to bet everything I said. So I'm not betting everything that we talk about. I'll tell you who I think is going to win fights, but I'm going to share with you what I'm betting now instead of just betting everything for the sake of betting. That's just irresponsible. So,
yep. I do want to say this real quick. I know you have a sick kid. I know that you were 15 minutes late.
I am.
But you just don't seem like you're happy, cheery self. And I'll say that because you know what? I know my little Dale. I know.
What do you know?
I know that sometimes you carry the weight of, like, you just need to get something off your chest.
Bro. Yeah. Oh, you want me to talk about the LFA thing?
Get it off your chest, dude. I want to see you back to smiling and happy. Just fucking let the world know.
Well, no. So here's the thing, right? And I'm going to get up on my pedestal for a second.
Love these.
Well, no. So LFA cut ties with Pat Miletich this week. Or today, not this week, today. Those of you who are unaware who Pat Miletich is a UFC Hall of Famer, former champion, and currently a color commentator for LFA. It has been so for years. They cut ties with him because Pat Miletich has an amazing podcast called The Conspiracy Farm. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. It's a quality program. But Pat Miletich has been very critical in the past of, I'll say all branches of the government, but just he is an adamant conservative, but he is also more on the patriotic side than your average person. He attended the rally at the Capitol building on the, what was that, the 6th when that happened. He was not part of the contingency of people that went into the Capitol in single file line and stayed within the velvet ropes after the barricades were removed for them. He was not part of that group of people. However, because he was photographed there, the LFA has chosen to take the same bitch-like approach of everyone else and jump on the cancel culture train. And they have cut ties with Pat Miletich. I believe it to be an incredibly dangerous precedent being set by companies, both big tech and beyond, where you are willing to fire, disenfranchise, cancel, and remove people from existence for their beliefs, whether you align with them or not. I think it's bullshit. There are plenty of people in the world that believe things that are different than what I believe. And as long as you're not overtly trying to cause me and my family harm, you are free to believe whatever it is that you want. And I don't try to impose my beliefs and views on anybody. Because you are entitled to that, right? I'm capable of having a conversation with somebody that does not agree and think the same way I do. You and I don't agree on everything politically. We don't agree on everything, from a fight standpoint either. There's plenty of things that you and I do not agree on, but we can have solid discourse about it. And when you just immediately cancel people based on things that they've said, done, or where they were in a geographic location at a point period in time, it is a dangerous precedent. You cannot allow mob mentality to rule the day when it comes to things like this. It's irresponsible and it's dangerous. And to be honest with you, man, there are things out there online that I have said and done that are so put me in the crosshairs of very, like, you know, that Twitter got rid of 70,000 accounts. All the Parler things are being scrubbed, all of these things that are going on. There are people right now that are being fired and let go from their positions for saying and doing less than things that I've said and done online. So I fully put myself in the boat or the canoe with some of these people, because I just, as a free thinking human, it's not even an American thing. This is a free thinking human. I believe I have the right to express myself. It's dangerous, man. It scares me. I don't like it. That's all.
No, it's completely fair. And I think the sad thing also, and I've noticed this with a lot of the other different channels that I like to watch, their narratives have begun to change because of the fearfulness of what could happen if they go outside their lane. And that's just a sad thing. But the cool thing is, Punchless, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to bet whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to enjoy it the entire time because we have the best listeners on the planet. You're the best freaking pilot. I talked about this earlier. I said, you know what? I don't feel comfortable because I don't always fly the plane. I sit and freaking coach and just get all the free drinks. But we're on to something. Fuck everything else, dude. We're doing this.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm all for it. Right. Like I said, the only reason why I'm bringing it up is because it's MMA related in the sense that they let Pat Miletich go. That's the only reason why I'd even bring it up. We try to make a habit of not saying and doing divisive or political things on the show. Yeah. You know, we don't talk about the virus. We don't do any of the normal stuff that people have been like, don't do that. Right. Stick to fights. Right. We hear that. We've had people tell us that before. Stick to fights. That's what we do by and large. I'm only bringing this up because Pat Miletich was a commentator for LFA and he's a former welterweight champ in the UFC. That's why I bring it up. And even then, you know, I felt like, you know, just talking about it for 5 minutes was probably 4 minutes too long. So anyway, guys, follow us on social media. Punchlist MMA on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you can find us. Couple things coming up. We've got the merch store is coming soon. That is in the works. We will have merch. We got a lot of stuff going on there. And then we will be doing We've got a challenge coming up as well. We do have a challenge coming up, which, you know, we're going to encourage as much participation with from you guys as humanly possible. So we are going to have contests. We are going to have challenges. We do have a store getting ready to launch here soon. Email us at chat at Punchless MMA. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Punchless MMA. Be sure to support the show. Stay classy meats. Use promo code FIST. Save 10%. Go to allegianceclothing.com. Use promo code PUNCH and save 15% site-wide. Best way to support the show is by supporting our sponsors. Trey, I appreciate you navigating the boat or flying the plane without me for 15 minutes, man. I appreciate that very, very much. Appreciate everybody that listens to the show. We've gone well over time. I appreciate what we do. I care about our listeners. Thanks for tuning in each and every week. Thanks for downloading. If you haven't left a review, please do so on iTunes. We're going to give some shit away this week. Trey, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Keep it going, guys.
That's it. Be good to each other. Do the bang, bang, bang. Bang. There it is. I need it every week.
Bang, bang.